this is Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. History was made here in Georgia a few days ago when two women graduated from the Army Ranger School at Fort Benning in Columbus. That added a new dimension to the continuing conversation about women in the military, which is something Gail McCabe has watched for years. She's a longtime reporter for the Defense Department, where she contributed to the American Forces Radio and Television Service. She joins us now. Welcome. Nice to have you.
Glad to be here. I've had my donut. I've had my 15 minutes of aerobics. I've listened to how my county is doing or not doing.
Are you ready for Dragon Con?
I'm ready.
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So it's been a complete and balanced diet. How did the Ranger graduations change the overall trajectory for women in the military, or did it really?
Well, okay, so let's start off with a little bit of a background. Women have had a place in the U.S. military going back to the independence days, back mm-hmm. in especially since World War I, World War II, and then on from there.
Yeah, my mom was in the Navy in World War II.
Today, we've got some 14% of all military forces are women. And, of course, the Army has the largest percentage on that. And they have been serving in hundreds of military specialties. But that's not to take away from graduating from Ranger School. That is one of the toughest, absolutely bare bones, you got to get it together, live or die courses that the Army has out there. And for these two women to have graduated to achieve their Ranger tab, it has broken the glass ceiling incredibly.
But they're not allowed in Ranger combat missions. They're Rangers, but they can't go into combat with their fellow Rangers. There will be more, though, right?
Right.
So is their integration into combat missions inevitable?
I think it is. And of course, this is just my opinion. I don't speak for the Army, but I do know that the Army leadership is right now evaluating how women are going to be more readily absorbed into all MOSs, military specialties that are out there, so that, because let's face it, the military is shrinking, the Army especially. Anybody who wears the uniform, they have to be able to make the most value out of those skills and those talents, regardless of gender. And any American knows that once they put that uniform on, they become a soldier. Gender really has little play, especially when you're deployed and you're in a combat zone. I've served many, many years with women on combat zones.
Well, Gail, you've covered the military for three decades, though, and just based on what you just said, but so has the attitude toward women changed, though, among the top ranks in terms of the commanders?
Oh, I think so. I think that the last 14 years that we spent in Iraq and Afghanistan proved to these commanders that women are more than capable of getting the job done and carrying the load as well as their male counterparts. However, you do have some out there that are still a little hesitant to say, okay, let's open all the jobs, cut them loose, and let them join the light infantry, the special forces, or the special operations, or even the Ranger Regiment, because it's a mindset. They're doing a lot of studies right now. They're looking at the Israeli military. They've been doing that for a long time. The Marines are looking, making studies. The Air Force is making studies. The Navy opened up, and they now have women on submarines. Mm-hmm. So we have, the Army has women that are now tank mechanics. This is a big deal. So I think it's inevitable.
Well, is the mindset then changing among those on the front line troops then?
Well, I think, and again, my opinion, I think that what you're seeing is a lot of the younger male soldiers that are coming into the Army are coming in with those preconceived mindsets that women shouldn't be out there, you know, mixing it up with the men in these close quarters, these austere and dangerous situations. And I think that a lot of it is going to come with education within the force, and I think a lot of it's just going to come with daily contact, because a lot of these young troops now are going to be serving under female commanders. And that's going to make a huge difference.
And if you've just joined us, we're speaking with longtime military correspondent Gail McCabe. I want to come back to that, though. You mentioned you think it's the younger soldiers, the younger infantry, for instance, that come in with that sort of preset notion of what women can and can't do. How surprising is that, though? Because one would think on the surface, okay, These would be young men who've grown up with female colleagues, female classmates, who have come of age in a time when, although there's still a lot to do with notions about women's roles, that we've come such a long way at the same time.
We have. However, I think it was 5-6 years ago, I was speaking with a young PFC, and this kid was 18, just joined the service, in the infantry, very proud. He was a scout. This was in Afghanistan. And we got to talking about what happens when the women come to join your unit. And he says, they won't last. They won't be able to cut it. You know, we won't let them cut it. So unfortunately, even in today's world, we still have, and we see this in the corporate environment, you still have men that look upon women as being incapable of pulling their same weight and performing the same job to the same efficiencies and skills as their male counterpart.
Does that mean that there will be a change in the culture surrounding sexual harassment and assault complaints? Because the more you have integration of women into the military, and we've seen this happen, the allegations have come up. Not only are there incidents that take place, but a lot of complaints about how the military respond when those complaints come forward.
I think and I can speak for the U.S. Army because I have done a number of stories on this. They have done a major rethink in how they value how they recommend or put out there the social values that they are teaching to America's young men and women. Women are coming forward now, and they are reporting the sexual assaults and the sexual harassment much more than they used to. But the commanders are listening and is making a point. And there is a huge, huge program that's throughout all of the military now. It's called the SHARP program, where they are teaching people to be aware and to be cognizant of what may or may not be sexual harassment, sexual assault. If you see it, what do you do? How do you respond? I think it's kind of really one of the nation's leaders in this kind of concept.
Well, a moment ago, you sort of went through a bullet list. You sort of highlighted, you know, with the different branches, you know, what they're doing. But I'm curious, are there greater opportunities and challenges for women, depending on the particular branch of the service that they're in?
Depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
It really does. Every service offers their certain specialities that mm-hmm. people can get into. So Air Force is, of course, all about the flying. They do a lot of supply and logistics. Army has the largest range of job opportunities that are available out there, from military police to communication to intel to robotics to support, command and control. And, of course, you're going to see the same thing in the Marines, and you're going to see the same thing in the Coast Guard. You're going to see the same thing in the Navy.
But, you know, it's interesting because when you go back, and Dennis, you know, and I'm sure your mother may have talked about it, mm-hmm. and Gail, obviously, you know, too, you look at when African Americans were first going to be involved in a service and all the concerns, some of the same similar concerns that we're talking about
Absolutely.
Now as it relates to women. So will it take a pioneer or somebody of color in the armed services, of one of the branches, to a female to reach a peak where she is sort of used as that template and that will sort of, I guess, spur the movement that we see women moving up in these positions in the armed services.
Now, are you talking specifically about African American women, or
no,
all
just
women?
Just women, all women.
Okay, so we.
But I likened it to African Americans,
haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, you had General Ann Dunwoody, who was the Army's first 4-star general. The Army has just put a Brigadier General, female, in charge of. She's in a major leadership role in one of the Army's light infantry divisions, and this is the 10th Mountain Division. And so that's radical. That's a first move. We have women that are leading the cyber forces. We have women that are leading the MP forces. You have women command sergeant majors. They're making a dent.
And, you know, it's sort of interesting because Frank Peterson, the Marines' first black aviator in general, just passed away at 83 just here recently within the last 24 hours.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Did you ever interview him?
Never did. I was fortunate enough to be at the 50th anniversary in Normandy for D-Day. Yeah. Oh man, that was incredible. To and you would see these veterans walking up with their families, you know, trolling behind them, and they'd see the microphone, they'd see the stand, and they'd come up and sort of like, you know, they'd come up and say, "Hey, darling, want to talk?" And so you'd ask them, "Well, what did you do here, sir?" And they start talking about how Johnny, in this tombstone that I was standing in front of, saved his life when they came off the ships and the tanks came off and they drowned so many people out there. And the family, you'd look at the family standing behind them and their mouths would be hanging open because Dad had never talked about this before. So it was, it's pretty awesome stuff.
And to bring it full circle, we just heard from Fort Benning a little while ago, a new class in Army Ranger School. They have completed the mountain phase of the Ranger course, and in that class, 103 men and one woman.
Way to go.
She's made it so far.
Way to go. That's tough. That is really, really, really tough training. A lot of the Army looks upon the Ranger School as leadership training, whether you're enlisted or whether you're officer, because you have to be able to lead that small unit to get in, accomplish the mission, get out quickly.
And then they're moving on to the swamp phase. which consists of two jumps for airborne qualified personnel, four days of waterborne operations, small boat movement, stream crossing, a 10-day field training exercise.
I know I would never make that, and Senator Isaacson confirmed that to us yesterday, that I would never make it. Have you ever, just as a reporter, gone in and tried to take on some of those training exercises?
I have been fortunate enough that when I went in to cover some of those exercises, there was always somebody standing off to the side with a vehicle to take me down to the next point. So, but you still walk away.
Because it's all about getting the story, Gail.
It's all about getting the story, absolutely.
That's a good story. Gail McCabe is a longtime reporter for the Defense Department. She contributed to the American Forces Radio and Television Service. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure.
We appreciate it.